You're listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio. I'm Beth Ruriak. Doctors and nurses are playing a larger role in identifying and intervening with victims of human trafficking. Capital Public Radio's health reporter Sammy Kayola has looked at how health professionals are helping to provide information and resources to victims across Northern California. She's in the studio with me. Hi, Sammy.
Hi, Beth. Thanks for having me.
I think everybody's first thought is this has been a law enforcement issue. Typically. So talk about the shift that's happening in dealing with sex trafficking.
Definitely. You know, trafficking has been such an underground, illicit issue, you know, that the police have handled. They've been busting up trafficking rings and finding victims out on the street. But no one really thought about the fact that, you know, these victims interface with healthcare all the time. You know, they're starting to show up in clinics and in hospitals, and it's become more of a public health issue. Doctors and nurses are starting to realize that actually they can play a really important role here.
Is this happening because advocates on behalf of victims are saying we need more of a net out there, more of a safety net? Or is it just an awareness in healthcare professionals that they can have a bigger role?
No, you're absolutely right about that advocacy, Beth. There has been so much of a push for more visibility. We used to think of trafficking as something that was happening in other countries, not happening here in the U.S. And so locally, especially in California, a lot of groups have come out to say there are a lot of people out there and they need our help. And they have specifically looked to medical professionals to, you know, start playing a role here. And they've actually found out there was a Loyola study in 2014 that showed that 88% of people who are trafficked end up seeing a healthcare provider at some point while they're trafficked.
Oh.
88%, it's almost everyone. And a lot of these victims were just slipping through the cracks because, you know, no one was looking out for it. And in California, I think there's also been a shift about the way we think about trafficking. There was the California law, SB 1322, mm-hmm. was signed in 2016 that made it, you know, you can't persecute a child for prostitution. Children can't be prostitutes. So, you know, I think people used to think of it as something that was illegal and not think about it as these people are victims. You know, they haven't done anything wrong. They've been forced into this situation.
It's one thing to think that maybe you have an aware healthcare worker that sees something and says something, but then there's the question of responsibility. So where is the responsibility for a doctor or a nurse?
Yeah, the onus is really on the doctor or nurse here because these victims rarely will they actually be in a place to speak up. They are so terrified, you know, from all of the trauma that they've been through, from these beatings, from the mental abuse they've been through, that, you know, they're not going to be the ones to ask for help. It's really got to be on the provider to notice that something is off here and to know how to react in that situation. So I talked to two survivors for this story. One of them is Brianna Williams, and she talked to me here about why they can't be speaking up.
There were times when I would, you know, go to the grocery store or go to, go to McDonald's or just anywhere, and I would be alone, and yet I was so afraid that he was still watching me, that he was looking at me. Because I had been beaten so bad, I feared that in every way. I was always told, you know, don't tell anybody, you know, anything. Don't tell anybody anything about me. You know, don't talk to the police.
You had quite a lengthy conversation with Brianna, and that's posted online, isn't it?
Yeah, we spoke for a while, and I've got about 8 minutes of that online. It's her entire story from when she was taken away to the 2 years of her experience.
You talked with another woman, Marie, and this point is made again on the online story that sometimes going to a clinic is a rare stop. And maybe that there's a thought on the victim's part that this is a possibility, but it just doesn't go the way they expect to. Somebody doesn't take that leap and intervene.
Right. So a lot of women talk to me about wanting that to be their chance. You know, it was like the one time they weren't with their pimp. You know, maybe they were in a women's clinic or they were allowed to go there alone. And they thought, oh, maybe this can be an out for me. And there were, you know, no one tagged them. And that's because historically, no one's been looking out for it. This isn't in medical textbooks. You know, there have never been, until recently, there weren't, you know, bullet points for what to look out for. But now there are. That's the good news.
And that's really important because as old as sex trafficking is, it's fair to say, I think, that the strategies and the protocols to stop it or to jump into the middle and break a cycle are somewhat new and at least evolving, aren't they?
They definitely are. So it started with some larger national groups. The National Human Trafficking Resource Center started to develop guidelines for healthcare workers. And it's really started to come down to hospital systems and to clinics. And so I spoke with Dr. Chambers. He's a family physician at Dignity Health. And he has, you know, his own clinic where he kind of specializes in this. He trains everyone on it. And he's also been trying to get those protocols around. I know that UC Davis trains emergency department staff. So does Sutter Health. And so there are these red flags. And that's really what it comes down to. You know, and they're not necessarily what you would think. So there are obvious things like bruises or, you know, branded tattoos. But there are other things like patients will avoid eye contact because they've been taught to never look anyone in the eye by their pimp. Or they'll actually be with a man who, you know, might be their pimp but is masquerading as a friend or a boyfriend, someone who's very aggressive, who, you know, insists on kind of speaking for them. That's a big red flag. And then another one is that, you know, they're often just really disoriented. They might not know their medical history. They might not know where they just were. And Dr. Chambers talks a lot about how they present.
Literally not knowing what city they're in, what even state practically they're in, because many of the victims that we've seen have been trafficked between states and cities. And so they literally lose time, they lose location, they just don't, you know, their whole life for the last years or months has been being held up captive as a sex slave.
So that's Dr. Ron Chambers with Dignity Health. But it seems as he's talking about them that these victims would require a special kind of care or specialized care.
Yes, they do. This is, he calls it heavy duty PTSD. It's a form of PTSD that's just very intense because of the emotional, you know, manipulation that they've been through sometimes for years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they can really lose track of themselves and, you know, where they want to be. And so if you're a healthcare provider and you're in a position to work with a victim, you've got to be really sensitive about this. You can't have that hero fantasy where you're going to just pull someone out of a situation. You know, not all the girls are ready to get out. They mm-hmm. could be too scared, or, you know, they might not believe that they're capable of living a life outside of trafficking. And so, you know, Dr. Chambers has this clinic in South Sacramento where everything's just a little bit different. If he's identified a trafficking victim, you know, the questions that the doctors ask, they're just more, a little more sensitive, nothing judgmental, nothing condescending. And, you know, the appointments are much longer than a typical appointment because it really takes time to build that trust. And like he says in this bite we're about to hear, it's really got to be up to the victim.
Human trafficking patients traditionally have been thought of within the framework or construct of care, kind of pigeonholed in with domestic violence. And I think there's definitely those components of it. But I think there's a lot of what I would almost consider addiction medicine interlaid there, moving them into a road of recovery as we take them out of a trafficking situation. But that choice needs to be theirs up front. They need to make these decisions, and we need to allow that to happen.
With the way he's talking, it sounds like there's interface with other agencies that have the specialties, the special needs that the victims would require.
Absolutely. So he has seen about 150 victims since he started doing this work in the summer of 2016. And most of those victims have been referred by local organizations such as Weave, CASH, the City of Refuge. And I talked to some people who work at those organizations, and they said they're just really happy to have a place where they know they can send their girls that will be safe for them, that they can say, okay, we know this doctor, and he knows what's up with you.
Right.
And, you know, he's going to going to be sensitive about that. And so, yeah, they have really collaborated to get that safety net going, like you said.
You are listening to CAP Radio's health reporter, Sammy Kaola, and all of the story that we're talking about, plus more interview and a list of resources, can be found at capradio.org. You'll hear more of Sammy's reporting on the subject later on today. What else is happening out there? What's innovative or different in response to sex trafficking?
So on the medical side, there are trainings going on in emergency departments and clinics, which we've talked about, which are very important. But what's really fascinating is they're trying to put it in residency programs. And Dr. Chambers is very passionate about this. He wants to start, you know, during education, during training. He wants doctors to become doctors with this knowledge in their pockets. Mm. And he says that's a big piece that's been missing, is this early education. So, you know, he's got a residency program in Sacramento, and he's actually got 8 to 10 other Dignity Health hospitals that have residency programs that he's kind of teaching to bring this to the residents. And then you've got other models. I talked to a clinic in the Bay Area that actually sends counselors out to the street to check in with people being exploited, to say, you can trust me, I'm a counselor, I'm not a cop, what's going on with you? I have some medical supplies in my backpack. Do you need anything? And, you know, after repeated visits, they can try to convince them to go get help. So that's one model. And then it's not just medical professionals and counselors. There's also truckers are looking out for this. They've got tons of protocols.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah, if they see something, you know, at a rest stop or out on the road, that that they know who to call. And there was actually a bill introduced last month that would train hotel workers to look out for this. Hotels are hotbeds for trafficking. And also ride sharing, Uber and Lyft are starting to get involved. So, yeah, it's almost like everyone has their eyes open now. It's a big change.
Well, it seems that anyone can keep their eyes open. If, for example, you saw a child alone on the road, you would immediately call somebody. So if you think that someone is in a situation in trouble, and again, some of those red flags might be obvious, some might not be, are there easy places to call? Are there easy resources that we might remember?
Right. So the big one is a phone number. You could write it down, keep it with you. It's the Human Trafficking Resource Center. That's 1-888-373-7888. I'll give it one more time. 1-888-373-7888. And then there are also a couple of online websites you can go to. So the Human Trafficking Resource Center has a website. It's humantraffickinghotline.org. And then locally, you can go to the City of Refuge. That's cityofrefugesac.com. And there's also something called the National Center for Youth Law. That's in Oakland, and that's youthlaw.org.
All right, Sammy, all those links will be on the website, as I said, with more conversation. And thank you for talking through the issue with us and kind of expanding what we already know about it. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Beth.
That is CAP Radio's healthcare reporter, Sammy Kaola. All those resources and more content will be at capradio.org. You're listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio.